He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
Yes, it is.
All right.
You have a list of questions. Let's start with you this week.
All right.
Okay.
Very serious. I saw something this morning on business news, which I think is as fictional as the rest of news.
Okay.
And it was talking about how the Ram, Fiat Chrysler's Ram, is surprising people because I guess it's selling. True? False? What?
Partially
Why is true. That a news story?
Partially true. The Ram has made great inroads against the Chevrolet line of vehicles. I'm not sure it's making a whole lot of inroad against the Ford line of trucks. But the Ram, if one goes and looks at a Ram, I must say...
It looks ramful. It does. That's the whole thing.
They've done a very good job with the interior, especially for the upscale models. As listeners, if they're still listening... Listen to a show a few weeks ago. I had a Ram. What did I call it? The edition? It was the classic edition or something. And
I think
it was
you
a base Ram of the old design without the new face on the luxury designs without the real fancy interior. And I said how simple it was and how wonderful it was. And they're still producing the last generation Rams. And I think there's some decision questioning going on as to when they might actually stop the production of those because they're selling so well. Well, not the least reason being that they are cheaper than all the other ones because they don't have a lot of technology, all the technology and the fancier dashboards and the touch screens in them like the new ones do. And
Jay looks sad.
No, it's typical FCA strategy. They come out with a new minivan, they keep selling the old one. They come out with a new truck, they keep selling the old one.
Well, new versions are so much more expensive because they've got more technology in them, and people still want basic transportation at a basic price.
I don't get it. I think FCA's business model is
weird,
warped,
has issues,
upside down,
and.
But we can talk
about business models of all the manufacturers.
Are they promoting?
They are undecipherable.
Unclear. All I'm trying to find out is what they are promoting what's actually selling or not?
Well, that's anybody's guess. Okay. They promote what they think they can make the most money on, but whether they can actually make it, you don't see $10,000 off on the Ram Classic 1500 pickup truck, but you do see it for the $70,000 Ram 1500.
Which brings it down to a whopping 60.
Yeah, well, it brings it down to a whopping 60. And, you know, I just finished selling a mint condition Toyota pickup loaded, looking like a brand new one on most of the lots I've been around looking at the new ones on. And the only shortfall on that truck was it had 71,000 miles on it. And people came and looked at it and said, how can you ask this for this? And we were asking $28,000, and there was nothing wrong with this truck. It had gone through a full inspection. The owner-seller had it done at one of the local Toyota dealerships, and it came through with a clean bill of health, and we finally sold it for $25,000.
Which was a fair price.
Which was a very fair price for this truck. And I was at a dealership last week, and they had three SR5 TR4 Pro level trucks, which was basically identical to what we were selling at $25,000, except they were 2019 models, and they were all $43,700. And first of all, you'd add the sales tax on that, which is higher than the sales tax on a $25,000 purchase, and you have higher insurance because it's a new truck and
you
more
have higher taxes.
But
if
it was
you live
basically
here.
Not significantly different enough except for no miles on the odometer.
Right.
And the person who's got this, who's purchased this truck, is going to have an absolutely sensational truck because that engine, which is the 5.7 liter V8, is like the Audi V8s and the BMW engines, and they'll go forever. It's bulletproof.
Yeah. And this is what people, I understand that if you have to sell, 17 million cars, trucks, whatever, a year. then you cannot let people know that you have a bulletproof engine, because otherwise,
they won't buy it.
You have to make people think that that 10,000 miles, 12,000 miles is the best they can get a year if you drive. And anyway, who wants to drive because
what?
No, there's no because. It's just part of the marketing.
Okay, Jay, you want to chime in here?
Yeah,
trucks. Trucks
and the market situation. I mean, buying pre-owned used, we've talked about that. This is sort of tantamount to talking about this Toyota pickup there were no dents in it, no creases, no scratches in the paint. It had a bed liner, it had towing packages, all that kind of thing. And they got basically a 2019 truck, minor technology differences, for $20,000 off.
If you don't drive all that much, it's fine. You drive... You know, and people who work with their truck maybe drive 10, 12,000 miles a year. They don't necessarily drive a lot. The whole idea of a truck is going to a truck job, to a workplace. So the more you're driving, the less you're actually making money. So I don't think pickup trucks drive all that much typically. So 70,000 miles on that truck was fine. Back to what Jill was saying about, new versus old models. I think, there's all this advertising out there to get you on dealership lots, and then you're going to buy whatever these people want to shove down your throat. It's that simple. Unless you really
and they want to do it before you leave their lot.
That's
because
right.
Because they know
if they
leave their lot, they've lost you another competitor.
Or something.
If there are 20 trucks there from 2016 and 2017, well, they will cut you a deal and you will walk out. And it'll be a good deal. But so my point is, it's going to boil down to money. It's going to boil down to inventory sitting on lots. And to that effect, Robin and I were talking about it just on the way over. All these manufacturers have more and more models. And so the more models you have, the more inventory you have just to have a few of each model.
Right.
So consumers are getting on car lots, and even specialty manufacturers or luxury manufacturers like the big three Germans, Audi, Mercedes, and BMW, have multiplied their lineup in the last decade to a point that people can't tell an X1 from an X2, X3, Q4, 5, 6, whatever it is, and oftentimes they just walk out with whatever they were sold. And it may be a very nice car, and it may fit their need, or maybe it's not
might
the best
not.
Car.
But
do they know what they bought?
No.
But the bar,
often,
the,
probably often
that's
not.
That's
but
correct.
On the other hand, if you have someone who knows what they're talking about, you can go onto a lot and you can.
You're talking about consumers knowing what they're talking
about,
or the
salespeople?
I'm talking about a consumer. I'm thinking about myself. Okay. I'm talking about if I go to a lot with you, which would be far
more
interesting.
Hate educated consumers.
Exactly. They're not their best customers. But it is far more entertaining than going online and perusing. What I'm trying to say is go to a lot with someone who knows. You need a car, go with someone who knows cars. And you will find something there. They will make a deal for you, and you will leave with something at the best possible price much closer to suiting your needs.
Presumably, you will leave happy, which is what
you
want to do.
That's all I'm saying.
Not enough people understand about car knowledge to know that maybe it might be a nice idea to find somebody who knew about cars. But I don't know how many people. There are a lot of people who agent cars. They're not around here, but they're down in New Jersey. You can find people who go buy cars for people all the time. I don't think the celebrities buy their own cars. I think they've got a car shopper.
Well, they have shoppers for everything. So
they have shoppers for everything. So they give their shoppers a list of things they think they want on it, and then they tell the guy to go get it, and they can pay what they want. So they don't know whether they're getting a good financial deal.
I got three words for you.
What?
My cousin Vinny.
Okay. We could say my cousin Jay right across the table.
Robin's new next career is in car shopping.
Yeah, as I'm watching down from the heavens above, that'll be my next career.
All right. What else?
Okay.
While you're waiting, could we talk about, and I know this is, it's just because it's summertime and just because people, let's call it distracted. I would call it something else, but I'm not allowed. Just because you're in an area that you don't know and you have a GPS and you're not, you think you can ignore the speed limit is still probably not the best idea when you're driving through small towns. How is that for diplomacy?
It's never a good idea to be speeding in a small town. I mean, we live in small towns. We see it all the time.
And to that point, which is very good to bring this up, because you've got these center of the street signposts that sit out there. Sometimes they're knocked down, but otherwise, when you come into a small village, which is packed with parking on both sides of the road, and you see, and you sort of, your eye scatters to see what's going on outside the car, and you see people moving around on the sidewalks, and or sometimes you can't see these crosswalk people because vans or trucks are parked there, and they hide the people trying to step out into the walking thing. You should really be going the speed limit or below when you go through these small towns.
Or you
should. For that exact reason, because the distraction, sometimes the people are looking at their cell phones as they're trying to cross or through the crosswalks. And if they're doing it and you are doing it, there's a guarantee that something's going to happen. We watched somebody, as we came across today, push the button. Did they push the button to make the lights go across lights? Was it a Hotchkiss or something? And the teacher or whoever it was had to run across because there were cars approaching from both sides and we were fairly close. But she decided to make a run for it instead of wait for us to see the lights go on, maybe or maybe not stop in time, and she could walk casually across.
Well, also there are places, I'm thinking of Lime Rock proper, for example, where the speed limit drops. And someone was behind me the other day and absolutely infuriated.
Berserk. That you were going slow.
That someone slowed down. How dare they?
Well,
and waited to pass, you know, to get to the corner at the stop sign.
And take off.
At about the same time that I did, because.
Okay.
But the point is that you've got bikers out now. They saw a beautiful thing with motorbikes.
Don't get me started.
Don't get me started. I saw a beautiful, it was like a, I don't know if anyone ever read Calvin and Hobbes growing up, but they should have. And you know, Mr. Jones leaves the house going one way, and Mr. Smith. Anyway, there were a very slow group of cyclists, bicyclists going up White Hollow Road.
Right, and that is a dangerous biking
there
road.
Was a pack of motorbikers coming down White Hollow Road, mm-hmm. and.
Room to the cyclist.
Well, the cyclists have the right of way. It's sort of like the boating world. The less power that's on the harbor,
the thing with boaters, you don't often see them on the roads.
Well, on the harbor, on the rivers,
right.
The more rights of way they do. The canoes have the right of way over sailboats. Sailboats have the right of way over power boats because they're not as maneuverable.
And when you're coming up over a hill at 96 zillion miles an hour, are you even going to see the four
bicycles in the shadow?
Okay, probably so not. Do you ever play chicken on the road? When you see a.
Is that a video game?
No, it's when you see a pack of bikers and you see from way far ahead. You
we
see
do not advise any listener to try to do this.
But
it's tempting when you see them riding on the center line.
Oh.
On the center line.
Yeah, but it's not actually, that is my typical complaint this time so far. Of course, it's very early in the summer. They were on the correct part of the road. It's just that the roads aren't that huge. So
have you driven in Europe any time in the last 50 years or 100 years?
In the last 100, yes.
There is plenty of space on our roads, on most of them. Plenty.
Not if you're American. All I'm saying is not if you're not paying attention.
Well, they have big bike lanes in Europe, don't they?
Well, they
and some well marked and well painted.
Sometimes not. A lot of roads don't have. There's just no physical space for bike paths. I mean that's for sure.
Down in New Canaan, but there is a sign along the roads there saying 3 feet is the law.
It is in Connecticut. It is, and you are totally allowed to cross the yellow line.
To give three feet
without being arrested.
And when you're on a long straight, like we have on certain roads here, and you can see a mile away, and you're following and getting on close to one or several cyclists, why would you not cross the center line and give them 10 feet?
I do.
Absolutely no reason at all, and you should.
You should. Statistically, you can look.
Yeah, but it's
clueless people.
That's it. You have to understand what you're supposed to do. And as I said, this V formation of motorbikes came whipping over, you know, the rise on
they're like
White
turkeys.
Hall.
You know, they go down south in the winter and
they come back. And these cyclists were pedaling their very best, but they were really strung out. And the only point is just share the road. Just be smart. Sorry. What were you going to say about car sales or something?
I don't know. I was going to say anything about car sales. We were talking about car sales in general in the knowledge base that you've run into when you walk into a dealership and want to ask about cars. Because as Jay properly said, many buyers know in advance what they are going to find or see on a dealer's lot. These are, I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people do. And then they walk in and there's a person on the floor who's going to get that particular customer most likely, unless you know somebody there and you want to go see them, like whatever. And then you go and ask them about the car that you've come in to shop for. And as Jay was and I were both discussing, there are times when once in a while you'll come into a dealership and find a salesperson that knows exactly what he or she is talking about, the buyer is talking about, and will actually know inventory instead of having to put you on hold and go see somebody and take 5 minutes to get back to you because they haven't a clue what's out in the lot. And they sit around all day long in their floor time situation, and they make busy work. This is my opinion. I sit in the showroom when I'm getting my car serviced, and I watch these salespeople. And
Get you a side job as a sort of a consultant.
Thank
for
you very much.
And you could send your findings up to
you wonder what
HQ,
they're doing.
GHQ.
And somebody comes in, and it's very frustrating when you know more, as Jay does, and I think I probably do know more about the vehicles that you're coming to look at or that you're going to see than the people who are supposed to be knowledgeable, so that's why they're doing the job they're doing, theoretically. But unfortunately, I'm afraid that the salesperson at an automobile dealership is just another body to fill a position that the dealer feels needs to be filled because they have to cover, a 12-hour day, 8 to 8 or 9 to 8 or whatever it is, with a sufficient number of bodies so that if there should be a rush of customers, consumers coming in, the consumer doesn't have to wait
at least
30 minutes to get somebody to pay attention to.
At least there's somebody to talk to. The thing is that it's one of those fields that typically does not attract. It attracts more sales than passion sometimes. Just from
well, there's
the
certainly,
staffing
in my opinion, not a lot of passion in the salespeople for their jobs.
I just think it's
dealership.
An antiquated sales model, period.
It could be, but there are certain antiquated things I'm digressing, but what I am finding is, yes, there are antiquated sales models that could be improved, but I don't see the actual improvements, and I would encourage anybody in any field to...
There's a move afoot in the industry that it's going to all go to internet buying and everybody's going to do it on... And Carvana is one of these situations that we talked about.
And we talk about this franchise state laws from time to time. I mean, this is the problem. Or to me, this is one of Tesla's biggest contributions to the auto industry is trying to break that monopoly that dealerships have over selling cars to consumers. And in a lot of states, like in Michigan, manufacturers are not allowed to sell cars directly to consumers. Tesla cannot sell their cars in Michigan
to consumers.
So they're coming up with stores and repair shops that are right on the borders in Ohio and whatever other border there is to contingent state to Michigan. But they're not selling cars directly in Michigan. I personally have a problem with that. I hope that they have challenged franchise laws in different states, and when that
but the fear is that if they get allowed to do what everybody coming new with new product and new models and new makes and all that may do try to do the same thing, and then and that puts the franchise dealer at a risk of.
And then you have dueling lobbies.
Going like the dinosaurs, yes.
You have dueling lobbies, and you know each side has a certain...
But it's not happening anytime soon, because right now Tesla is really the only mainstream manufacturer trying to sell directly to consumers. And on the other hand, you have groups of dealerships that are not... Dealerships are no longer mom-and-pop stores like we still have a few locally.
But a lot of them are
a lot of them are chains. A Penske. I saw
AutoNation.
AutoNation. I mean, there are CarMax. I mean, these are chains of dealerships. This is
they bought
huge
up all
business.
The small mom and pop stores.
So did the radio. For example,
I mean, well, that's
what,
right.
What I'm just saying
it's
is
right. I mean,
the chainification
industry.
Has totally happened. You pick an industry,
it's the airline
it's been
industry,
changed.
Everything
but,
else.
But the fact is that humans still are marvelously unique and not all fall for the chain gang.
You have faith in humanity.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're getting close towards the end of this show, so maybe we should just go to short topics or short subjects and see if we can do a number of things within 30 seconds or so, Jay.
I'll start out by saying,
here's a headline saying, aluminum 150 proves less costly to repair. You know, the same thing happened to me when I bought
Nobody's ever fixed a pickup truck bed, okay? They rust or they get dented or they get replaced by flatbeds.
That has anything to do with what I just said, but in any event, that was Jay's take on it.
Okay. Next.
That's the good news for the aluminum Ford body, because I'm sure the
Rocks
others were saying away from aluminum because of the expense, A, to produce it, and B, to repair it.
So,
and the counterpoint to that is that the Tesla insurance, the cost to insure a Tesla is one of the 15th highest in the industry because it's it can't be repaired, is in a story that is in one of the magazines that Jay and I are carrying here. It's it's difficult to repair. Everything can be repaired for money, but a Tesla owner who has a 2014 Model S said that he is not getting his. I asked him, what did he do to it? He had dented fenders, and he said it's too costly to repair. It was going to cost him $7,500 to do something he thought should have been able to be done for $33,000. And so that's the kind of thing that buyers are going to start noticing when they go to insure these new high-tech cars, and we've brought this up in previous shows, so I won't go on with it. Jay wants to say
30
something.
Seconds.
Go ahead, Jay.
Lime Rock. We just had a community day at Lime Rock, as we know. It was reasonably well attended. I hope Lime Rock Park will put up the same event in the years to come. I think it was kind of a dry run before the big weekend coming up, Memorial Weekend, and I think for all of the car fans out there, there's an opportunity to go and see Trans Am racing, which is a form of racing that we have not seen, I think, at Lime Rock in the last couple of years, and it actually makes for very good racing, and it should be a fun weekend. Hopefully the weather holds up. And
for those of us who are
Trans Am cars are, in my opinion, a bit big for the Lime Rock track.
But what are Trans Am cars?
Trans Am cars historically have been
Camaros
and Mustangs, American.
American Iron.
What is
American
Trans
Iron?
What is
but
Am
they Sam are for? They are built, they look like production cars, but they are actually tube framed cars.
Underneath production frame, production bodies.
So they're production bodies, but they're
like the road version of NASCAR.
But there's nothing underneath the skin that's anything like what we're driving on our roads.
It's racing.
But
it
is going to be a big weekend at Lime Rock to toot the Lime Rock situation, and we hope we have weather there for Monday and Saturday, like we had, or we had part of this last weekend.
So on Sunday at Lime Rock, this coming week, Memorial Weekend, there will be the Royals Car Show, and it will take place on the front straight. There should be an interesting group of cars there, and all proceeds benefit the Michael J. Fox Foundation. So hopefully we see a lot of people there too.
And it's a non-racing day on Sunday.
It is a non-racing day, so all of the activities and a lot of the vendors will be down on the main street alongside the cars. So
and the weekend tickets get you into that.
The weekend tickets get you in there, but you can also get Sunday only tickets, which are I don't know what the pricing is, but very affordable. And again, all for a good cause.
And because that brings out the crowds, and I
and
believe this is one of the big weekends that Lime Rock likes to hope that they're going to make a lot of their money for the season.
Well, it's not just that.
It used to be Memorial Day, July 4th weekend, and Labor Day.
And more to the point, you've got to get people interested in seeing things because we got tons of opinion, but not a lot of eyeballs.
And
that is the word of the day.
He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.